Villages Community Center, Canteen Bergs, and Makisia Solo. For more information and tickets, visit cinemapolitica.org. We hope to see you there. This is a CKUT co-presentation.
Hello and welcome. You are tuned into CKUT 90.3 FM, and it has become time for this month's episode of Pirate Block Radio. With you today is me, your host, Malte Leander, that will be guiding you through the next hour of topics around digital art practices, inventive media art, and related topics, with this show coming out of Jejage, also known as Montreal, located on unceded Indigenous lands. We have come to the last episode for this season, coming back in full effect again in the new year. The January episode will consist of a look back into the vault of past years of interviews, discussions, and events since Pirate Block Radio has been on air since back in 2015. But let's focus on today's schedule. We are, to say the least, ending on a high point today with two interesting artists and creators that I have had the chance to talk to. Both of these artists are having scheduled residencies at the Digital Arts Center Eastern Bloc here in Montreal. Projects in research creation, including instrument building and performance through explorations of meetings between the past and the current. With me today to talk about these things and more is a specialist in early keyboard instruments such as pianoforte, harpsichord, and organ, Kathleen Clark. A multi-instrumentalist that searches for new connections between the current musical environment and the historical soundscape through acoustic instruments mixed with digital processes. Welcome to the show, Kathleen. How are you doing today?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for joining me. So to kick off things today, I think that we should talk a little bit about the residency that you are to be doing sometime in the near future. A project that partly is to construct and build this sort of experimental organ instrument. So I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit about what this project is that you will be doing.
Yeah, so this project combines a couple of different interests that I've been building over the last few years in my practice. So essentially, I'm trying to build an organ extension for a small medieval portative organ that that I use a lot in performance and that I also use through extended digital practices. So I have found or kind of sourced different organ pipes that I'm trying to manipulate in different ways and that will also be used through different software or controlled through software and that can be installed within a gallery space and used within live performance and that can kind of manipulate sound in different ways. So using Arduino and small controllers, I'm hoping to be able to essentially extend my early music practice into new places and also allow people to experience the instrument in a different way that's very physical but also still reflective of early music origins.
So sort of a project that has both potential of being an installation but also also heard in a live sort of performance setting, since you're having that kind of background too as a musician and performance.
Yes, exactly. So it ideally has this multifunctionality where the the pipes can be used as just an installation where people can visit on their own, and where the pipes are controlled through purely electronic means, but they can also be applied alongside live performance as an extension of kind of a more human and real-time experience.
Great. What sparks my curiosity around this project is kind of the meeting between the old and the new expression that I find very interesting. So I was wondering, what about that meeting that interests you or makes you want to explore the traditional and the digital and what is happening in between the two?
Yeah, so that's something that has become kind of central to my practice, this meeting of old and new. And over the last few years, my early music practice has been kind of going back earlier and earlier in time. So I've been looking for, I think in my own way, a kind of source material for keyboard music in Western classical practice, because of course you can find very early practice in a lot of different classical traditions from around the world. But in a Western context, I've been going farther and farther back, and I've kind of ended with a study of Hildegard von Bingen's choral music, or voice music for voice, I should say. And my own exploration of early organ has led me to wonder whether I could interpret that extremely early repertoire in a new way that would fit my own work as a keyboard player. And then on the other end of that, in terms of composition and working with new technology, I've been trying to go in increasingly independent ways as a performer. So trying to experiment more with electronics on a personal level, whether it's through extensions of early keyboard instruments that I can add on, or through digital means such as sampling, and then stretching out things, stretching out sound, trying to use sound in different ways. And then with these two kind of components, trying to navigate a meeting point that isn't just what I've imagined, but that I can allow other people to experience, which has its own challenges, of course, because often digital instruments, and especially on the scale that I'm working with, you need quite a large space. So just the physical nature of space, and then that combined with being able to kind of manipulate sound in a way that can be felt within the body, and then that feeling extended even more through digital manipulation. So it's kind of been this trajectory that's gone really over 1,000 years of at least in Western tradition, technological aspects and musical sound.
Well, what about this journey that you're describing in your own artistic practice of going closer, I guess, from the classical experience that you have with the newer digital tools that you're exploring? Have you done similar projects like this one that you're taking on in the past, or is this kind of a new exploration that you're undertaking?
This is a new exploration in how extreme it is. So I've never done anything on this scale before. I've done smaller manipulations with my instruments. So that has taken the form of, I guess what you would call it, extended technique, things with pedals, with processing sound live, and then with very, very small physical manipulation with the instrument. But I have not had an opportunity before to really take this to a point where I could create an instrument that could kind of work as an independent machine. So where I have enough independence to not be physically present for whatever I've built to work, if that makes sense. So this is really exciting for me because it's taking everything to another level in terms of using technology, of using software, of my own independence for musical expression. Everything is just a lot more extreme and larger scale, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And it protect perhaps it's that part of instrument building then that interests you of being able to do this sort of extension of I guess newly or not newly but artistic expressions of in what direction that you're heading of being able to create this sort of own platform of what's going on in the creative process and wanting to expand that by creating your own sound sources or instruments or expansions of those that you already possess the knowledge of.
Exactly. And that also ties in to very early music practice in a lot of interesting ways that I think have been maybe not ignored, but not explored to their full potential. Instrument construction is actually such a large part of early music keyboard practice because the instruments tend to require a lot of maintenance. If you specialize in harpsichord or very early organ, clavichord, any of these early instruments require a lot of personal care. So you become much more involved than you tend to become much more involved than with a modern piano, for instance, or even any kind of electronic keyboard where it can be difficult to go inside and manipulate the instrument without causing damage. So I find that really interesting to be able to essentially construct an instrument, but combining new and old technology in ways that could be extremely unique to a personal practice.
Yeah, thanks for shining some light upon all of this, and it certainly sounds like an interesting project. And so, fortunately for us and for the listeners, you've brought some rudimentary sketches in form of a musical excerpt or ideas, so that we could get an idea of what it could potentially sound like later on. Anything you'd want to add on that before we get into it?
Yeah, with the sketch that that we're going to hear, that is kind of building on an idea of having very large organ pipes that can have a sustained drone sound. So that it really ties into one of the fundamental things I want to do, which is to create layers of texture that can also be felt. But what is left out of the sketch are two other ways I'm trying to use pipes, organ pipes. One is to use chime pipes, and that's a different type of organ pipe that some people may not be very familiar with that are actually struck. So using a solenoid and then a small hammer that can then control remotely striking of a pipe and then hearing a percussive bell-like ring. The other element that you, or that I haven't included in that sketch, is using a very, very massive pipe, a pipe that's almost 9 feet long, as a speaker, essentially. So making it into a resonating body that can then have other samples fed through it. And then that can also be controlled remotely and manipulated in different ways. So that sketch includes just one kind of base element that's really a fantasy of what I hope will be part of what's heard.
All right. Well, so we'll listen to, a reduced and somewhat simplified version, I guess, of what the final result will be. Thank you. Yeah, I'm certainly looking forward to being able to listen to this in a live setting or in its final form, and to see this constructed organ too. And Kathleen, you mentioned in a previous conversation that we had that you are upcycling material and reusing previously discarded objects for the instruments that you're building. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so one thing that I find really interesting from an environmental and cultural perspective is the kind of dismantling of very large church instruments, so church organs. A lot of communities, of course, have churches that are being turned into other types of buildings, such as living spaces and commercial spaces, or buildings that are simply being torn down. And often there is an organ within these old churches. So what happens to the instrument? What happens to the pipes? And unfortunately, a lot of this does just go to the landfill. But it's also possible to find people who have tried to salvage and save parts of these instruments. And so I have been seeking out pipes, mostly in Ontario, which surprised me. I thought I would find more locally in Quebec. But at the moment, I have found most of them in Ontario, and then some chime pipes from the United States. And these are from old organs that have been dismantled. So I really like the idea of these materials being reused, especially since they still serve their primary purpose. They still make sound, and they can be kind of used in a way that is culturally more relevant, maybe, or newly relevant in a non-religious context. And I think that can tie into a lot of ideas of dismantling things that were maybe problematic, or hold a history that's quite upsetting, but that still existed, and that can hopefully be, or parts of which can be salvaged and then turned into something else. Yeah, so that's been kind of another focus of building an instrument with old pipes instead of constructing new pipes, which of course would be another way to do this type of project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I do find that to be an interesting and an important point to take the environmental side of things into account, and I mean the material and the instrument itself also carries some sort of weight and history, or even a mix between different stories and experiences once it has been turned into something new, or perhaps even parts deriving from different locations and areas that makes it personalized and have a certain character. Or at least it sounds like it to me, the way that you're explaining that you're gathering things from different parts or locations.
Yeah, exactly. Because I really believe that objects, musical objects, can hold parts of the environment and can serve kind of a purpose of transmission. And it's also interesting to look at ritualistic practice, of course. So these are instruments that were often used in various ritualistic contexts. So the question of whether that can be taken and then put into a new ritualistic context, I find that really interesting. And how we kind of do create our own ways of communicating with sound, especially when set up within a space. So I think that it's possible to kind of transmit environments and feelings over time and over space by gathering things from different places and bringing them together in new ways.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you about another thing around the topic of residencies, since you have some previous experience from different parts of the world, having done some other residencies around Canada, but also in Iceland and Russia. Because the creative side of things during a residency often being intense and focused during a limited amount of time, I was wondering, what about this form of creative work that you find interesting or enjoyable as an artist?
Yeah, so doing artist residencies has been, I think, a really important part of my practice, actually. Because it can be very, very difficult when you are kind of in your daily life and, you know, working every day to have a period of reflection and also a period of very, very intense work on one specific project when you are at home. So going to a residency, it offers an opportunity to do many things that are unique. First of all, of course, it's, I think, a very important thing culturally, because residencies serve not only the artist, but the artists from that community. So you have an opportunity to communicate with people who wouldn't necessarily come into contact with ideas from Quebec, for instance, going to Iceland or to Russia especially, where interacting with Russian artists and with people who maybe don't have the ability to travel as much as we do, you can really offer quite a lot in terms of dialogue. Also, of course, just the ability to focus on one project, one very specific project. I find that really changes the way I deal with time. Time kind of takes on a new open dimension, where even if it's only 2 or 3 weeks, you can get much, much more done than you'd be able to if you were spending that equivalent amount of time at home. And of course, that's because you don't have to deal with all of your daily obligations, but it's also because you have the opportunity to just let your mind focus on creating one specific artistic project. So I find that is something that you can only really achieve by going somewhere and isolating yourself to a certain extent. So that's been really, really important. And then for myself personally, I have a very deep fascination in other kind of Nordic landscapes and northern culture. So going to northern Iceland and going to St. Petersburg in Russia, I kind of felt a certain sense of comfort, because there are some similarities to the environment, in Montreal and in Quebec. But also, of course, I was able to see a lot of differences. So different ways that people kind of express themselves musically, express sound, experience sound, differences in soundscape, all of that I still build upon now. I often go back to these experiences while I'm working locally.
That's great. I'm looking forward to seeing what comes out of this residency or the project that you will be undertaking. And hopefully it brings some of those things with it as well. I think that is it for today. I wanted to thank you again for coming on the show. And again, looking forward to witness the final result of this organ construction project that you're undertaking.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And well, that will leave Caitlin Clark by listening to another one of her compositions and hear an excerpt from a longer piece for small organ with alternate tunings. Here is Parts of Tetra. You are listening to CKUT 90.3 FM, and you're tuned into Pirate Block Radio. And today, we're discussing instrument construction, where traditional acoustic instruments meet new contemporary expressions through the interaction of both machines and humans. And to speak perhaps a bit more on this machine side of things is Montreal-based British artist and musician David Gardiner, a multifaceted creator exploring audiovisual performance, robotics, and kinetic elements, to name a few. Welcome to the show, David. How's it going?
Hey, it's going very well. Thank you for having me on today.
Thank you. I am, to say the least, reading over and kind of doing a little bit of research upon this residency that you will be doing with Eastern Bloc, interested around the project, a project titled Empty Vessels, which is a sort of merge between new technology of robotics with older instrument bodies. Can you explain to us a little bit what this project is about?
Yeah, for sure. So Empty Vessels is a project that at its heart is about bringing an instrument to life without the need of a human. So this particular piece takes the form of three cellos that are being played by bespoke robotics. And the compositions are actually written by an artificial intelligence program that has been trained on pieces of music by myself and my co-collaborator, Wolg. So basically the piece sits in a space and plays itself music that it's composed for itself, sort of totally removing the need of a human from the piece. And actually that the title of the piece, Empty Vessels, sort of speaks to the fact that there is an empty space where a human should be within this performance. But also it's talking about the sound box of the cello, the piece that actually creates the acoustic sound. So it's sort of a play on words, both empty space and the sound chamber of the cello.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the part that had me the most interested to when reading about these details of the machine replacing the human musician and the instrument that you're using, the cello, that traditionally obviously requires the functionality of the human being. What are the thoughts of is there a statement, or what are the thoughts of actually replacing the need of the human being where it normally sits or functions, I guess, with the instrument being played in another way?
Well, I think actually from conception, this piece has taken a very large change in what I thought it was going to be and what it ended up being. And I think really it's just led me to really appreciate the human body for all of its abilities. And kind of focus on being something very different from a human playing a cello. Originally, I really wanted to be able to kind of mimic the sounds that a human could make. But the human, you know, muscular system is so complicated and versatile. Trying to replicate that with, you know, cheap electronic components is nearly impossible. So I think it really took on a life of its own as a robot and as what a robot playing a cello sounds like, which I think was to its benefit, really, because a project that was mimicking a human playing a cello, at that point, you have to ask the question, what is the point of it? Because one of the reasons for it being a cello is I'm a cellist myself, so I sort of understand the intricacies of how to play the cello. And there's something very, very human about the cello as an instrument and the way that it's played. So I think for me, the project taking this new turn into being about the sound of a robot playing a cello is really important in how it sort of came about into fruition.
Mm-hmm. I mean, exploring this sort of exchange, I guess, between a classical acoustic instrument, are you mentioning, and robotics, which is perhaps a completely other world than this sort of classical instrument. What is it about the meeting, perhaps, between the new and old that interests you?
I think that the thing that's very interesting about the sort of the new meeting the old is there is a huge chasm of emptiness between the two. There's a cello that was invented, you know, centuries and centuries ago as an instrument designed to fit the human form, really. And then we have these robotic components that are very linear and angular and, you know, they're not very compliant to human spaces. So I think in trying to fit the two together, there is always going to be some sort of a mismatch. And I find that that's often where the most interesting pieces of art come about, where there's a sort of a barrier to overcome. And it's in overcoming those barriers that you sort of challenge yourself, and a work of art kind of springs from that space. One of the hardest pieces mechanically with this project is that all the strings diverge as they go towards the bridge from the headstock of a cello by a few degrees each. And most robotic systems, I would say, are based around 90-degree angles, so things move linear or parallel to each other. So one of the hardest things is getting the things that act as the fingers, which play the notes of the cello, to be able to move in line with the strings in sort of compound curves. And that itself led to some very sort of interesting robotic systems that I've not seen before that really sort of brought about the project its own sound, really.
Mm. Do you have any similar experience from past projects of building your own instruments or gear? I know that you're not only a musician, but also working in visual arts, or combining the two sort of expressions.
I think this is by far the most complicated robotic project I've ever taken on. I do all sorts of visual arts. I actually studied in Brighton in England a course called Wood, Metal, Ceramics and Plastics, which was a very hands-on workshop-based course. And I was brought up always, you know, building things with my hands. And it was always a very hard decision for me whether I would go into sort of arts and music as a career, or more of a design engineer, sort of traditional job pattern. And somehow, through never making a decision to go into one or the other, I'm treading the line between the two. So I would say I've got a very technical background, which really lends itself to this kind of work. And I'm, you know, very happy to be able to apply it to the arts, because that for me is where my passion lies. I've never taken on a project with robotics interacting with arts. I've done either one or the other. So this is basically the time where my two different lifestyles converged and came together for this sort of unique project.
Oh, that's very neat. Well, before moving on, I think it is time that we listen to some of the music of David Gardner, some that he releases under one of his aliases, Montreal Life Support. Here with the track, The Ocean Just Grew. that was The Ocean Just Grew with Montreal Life Support. An interesting artist name that had me curious about its origins. Where did that come from?
So the name Montreal Life Support came from when I left England and moved to Canada. There was a multitude of reasons for doing this. It was partly for love, partly because I saw the artistic scene in England declining through gentrification and, you know, the arts not being able to survive really in London. And so Montreal became my artistic life support, really. And having moved here, I'd say that it's one of the most artistic, thriving cities I've ever been in. And the reason for coming here is because I visited here with my girlfriend a couple of years previously, and we ended up at a party at a venue called La Plante, which I haven't been to for a while. But on stepping into that place, I knew that this was the city that I had to be in, because it was the most sort of wonderful community-based kind of illegal venue. I don't know if it's illegal or not, but, you know, it's such a wonderful space for creativity to just blossom. I knew that the fact that that could exist in a city, that was the space to come to for me.
That's a nice love story of how you ended up where you're currently residing. To speak a little bit more on the residency, I was curious to hear your thoughts upon perhaps the way that residencies are often, you know, put in a short amount of time, a sort of time crunch with focus and intensity due to a shorter limited time frame. Is that a way of working that you personally find stimulating?
Yeah, I would say that the addition of a deadline for me is the thing that really gets me working hard towards a final product. I currently have been working 3 or 4 days sort of back to back for another project, and I accomplished more towards the deadline date in the last sort of 7 days than I do in maybe 2 months prior to that. So yeah, if I'm in a space with a project and that time is dedicated, you know, without the, like, if I'm there for that time, then I'll turn off my emails, turn off social media, and I'm just there in that headspace. And it really gives your mind the chance to sort of link ideas rather than being broken off every time something else comes in to challenge your attention. You know, it really helps you sort of flow from one thing to the next. And yeah, so I'm very, very much looking forward to the time I'm going to be able to spend at Eastern Bloc just working fully on this project.
So apart from this project that you will be doing under this residency, the Empty Vessels project, I'm curious to hear what other things that lays ahead, perhaps for Montreal Life Support or in some other context that you're currently working on.
Yeah, so at the moment, I'm currently working to finish 2 albums, one under one of my alias Dems, which is a UK-based group with a three-piece and a singer, and I'll also be releasing my first LP as Montreal Life Support in 2021. Apart from that, I've been growing my thoughts towards mechanical robotic artworks, and there's another piece in the works that I'm just sort of developing at the moment that's going to be focusing much more on the human voice and vocal cords, and looking at those in terms of, you know, muscular attributes and how that could be mechanized, really using the same process that the human uses to voice their sound, not using any speakers. So it'd be very, again, electroacoustic-based artwork. But that's probably going to be coming together towards the end of 2021.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm looking forward to to seeing where that ends up and more closer in the foreseeable future, also the end result of Empty Vessels. So thank you for coming on to the show and shining some light upon that.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
So we'll leave with yet another piece of David Gardner's music here with a piece titled A New Winter. Thank you. That was all for this last episode of this fall season of 2020 for Pirate Block Radio. I'm your host, Malte Leander, here with you on CKUT 90.3 FM, today with talks together with Catelyn Clark and David Gardner. We've covered a bunch of other great discussions with previous guests, both from this season as well as from previous years, all available on Mixcloud, where you can listen back to the episodes in their entirety. You can also get over to Eastern Bloc's webpage, where you'll find the programmation of workshops for the new year and find out what else goes on at the Art Center. That is easternbloc.ca. Until next time, take care.
From 88 megahertz up to 108.
You've got this frequency. We're going to call you CKUT. You've got this frequency, 98.3. That frequency is what you're picking up when you tune that radio.
Very impressive.
You can sit on the moon and it looks like they pick up CKUT, clear as a bell.
Fascinating. Your analysis seems logical.
CKUT is on the air.
Vous écoutez Show pour le Monstone sur les ondes de CKUT 90.3 FM. Nous sommes jeudi le 7 juillet 2022. Il est 21h. Vous êtes avec moi, François Letourneau, jusqu'à 22h, où Nicolas prendra la relève pour une deuxième heure de show pour le Monstone. Vous êtes sur les ondes de CKUT 90.3 FM. On écoute Bella V de Champagne.
Et tout neuf, une cigarette allumée se consumait.